teacheth you of all things, and is the truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him.
I'm going to ask him to read it again. Notice this. Read.
But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you.
The anointing which you have received of him, the of him here can be referring to Christ or the Holy Spirit, that anointing, and this is the influence of the Holy Spirit in the life of each child of God, that anointing remains with you. Read.
And ye need not that any man teach you.
As a result of that, you do not need that anybody teach you.
But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him.
Okay. When you read this part of John, ye need not that any man teach you. It's easy to leave with the idea, well, first, if you are a thoughtful person, it would have left you confused. Truly, because you know you need teaching. Every one of us, I mean every one of us, we learn from somebody. And we are in the process of learning. We never stop learning if you are going to grow in Jesus Christ. And you never reach the point where you know everything that you need to know. So when you read this, it would have left honest, thoughtful Christian asking, what is he saying? I don't need anybody to teach me. Jesus Christ left the church here to be a teaching institution. The text under consideration cannot be understood without taking into consideration the entire context and taking into consideration what John was writing about. What was the issue John was dealing with in this part of his epistle? Without that, you read passage like the statement we have just read, that you do not need anybody to teach you. In fact, some people might have read it, and over the many years at various places, and just tell themselves that there it is, the Bible says, I don't need anybody to teach me, because God put something in me that's going to do all the teaching. And the passage is not teaching that. You see. Now, as I said, you have to take the context into consideration. John was writing to guard and protect the Christian and the church against falsehood. Very important. That is, John called the falsehood under consideration, not just in this chapter, but almost in the entire book of 1 John and 2 John. John called this falsehood Antichrist. This was what John was writing about, the Antichrist and their damnable teaching. Look at verse 18. Remember, the question is in respect to, just a minute. The question is in reference to verse 27. That's right. Okay, let us hear 18.
Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come.
May I, brothers and sisters, another thing to keep in mind as we go through this. We are not as adamant as against religious falsehood as the apostles of Christ were. Truly. They were, because as we get in a little more in this study, the first century apostles and men who knew the apostle knew the danger of falsehood. And that's what he's writing. Read that verse again, verse 18.
Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come,
mm-hmm.
even now are there many Antichrists.
You see, many. Just within short period after Christianity came into existence, John is saying that there are many Antichrists. That's verse 18.
Yes, whereby we know that it is the last time.
That's right. Now, let us hear verse 21.
I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth.
Now, this is important. You know, John says, I'm not writing to you because you are ignorant of the truth.
But because ye know
it. But because you
know it.
Know the truth. This makes all the difference in the world. Are we there? Huh? Because you know the truth.
And that no lie is of the truth.
John can further explain the nature of the truth and the nature of falsehood. You see, is the danger of the falsehood confronting the church then? From what we know and call to, well, not we call, they were known as, it was known as Gnosticism. G-N-O-S-T-I-C-I-S-M. They were known as Gnostic. May I? They claim to know all things that there is to know. And they claim new revelation. They were telling the Christian, and this is word got to John, that here are some people who were once in the church. Yes, they had backslidden. You know, there's a verse there which tells that they went out from among us. And they went out because they weren't satisfied with the teaching that Jesus Christ left. In fact, I'm coming to the point. They did not even accept Jesus Christ for what he was. That's the fundamental falsehood here. You see, they deny who Jesus Christ was. And went out to start their own thing. Now, what we should keep in mind is that falsehood and truth are incompatible. They never mix. And we must never try to mix man-made religious falsehood with the truth of Jesus Christ. So verse 21 again, brother.
I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it. And that no lie is of the truth.
Because they knew the truth, John could further explain both the nature of the truth and the nature of their lies or falsehood. As I said, truth and falsehood are incompatible. They do not mix. There's something here that it does not come out in the English as it is in the original text. read verse 21.
I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth.
Verse 22.
Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is Christ?
The King James tried to modify it. It's not who is a liar. It's who is the liar. It's like John is giving them a title. And he called them the liar. Who is the liar? Is the religious, the Gnostic, he's referring to as the liar, not just a liar. This is, in fact, a title given to the religious false teachers who were denying who Jesus Christ was. And it is quite striking that John put the definite article before it. Not the indefinite A or A, anything like that. It is the liar. That is what is in the original text. You see, who is the liar? It was the truth about the identity of Jesus Christ that was under attack by the Antichrist. Did you say the identity of Jesus Christ? Yes. Have we been on the identifying marks of the true New Testament church? It's important that we know that. It's important that the Christian in the first century knew and accepted who Jesus Christ was. Accept Jesus Christ as is. As is. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? You see, the people under consideration here, as we are going to read, didn't want to accept Jesus Christ that he came in the flesh. That is, that Jesus Christ was divine, that means he was God, and that at the other end, Jesus Christ was man. He was flesh and blood. This is the problem in the text. They didn't want to accept that. They want to modify Jesus Christ. They want to make him into what would suit their belief system. We're going to read a passage that anyone who deny that Jesus Christ come in the flesh, if you deny that, you are also denying the Father. But we are coming to that. But that was the problem that John was dealing with. The identity of Jesus Christ. They want to give Jesus Christ a different identity. That Christ was, the true identity of Christ, as I've said, is that Jesus Christ by nature was both human and divine. Jesus Christ by nature was God and he was man. And somebody there say, well, is that important? You better know it's important. If in your belief system you believe in a Christ that is not in keeping with what God gave us as the Christ, if in your belief system you sort of either add to who Christ is or take away, then you believe in somebody that is not the Christ. Jesus Christ was by nature one with man and one with God. That is the Christ. Let us hear. Let me hear John 8:45. St. John, that is. St. John 8:45.
And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not.
Okay, let me hear now 1 John again. 2:22, which was read.
Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist.
Who is the liar? Anyone who deny that the man who lived among us, performed miracles, died at Calvary, that he was the promised Messiah, the Christ. Anyone who denies that, that person is the Antichrist. May I turn to 2 John? It has one chapter, verse 7.
For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh.
Well, wait. What if a person said, well, I don't believe Christ came into the flesh? Is that important? Without that, if you remove that, you do not have Christianity. Because that is the foundation of our belief system, that Jesus Christ came in the form of a man. And in the form of a man, he went on Calvary's cross and felt the nail and the pain and all the agony that comes from crucifixion. Jesus Christ felt them and bear them for our sin. He was, in all sense of the word, a true man. And at the same time, God, even though he had given up some of his godly prerogative, these false teachers were spreading false understanding in respect to the person of Jesus Christ, who he was. This, if permitted to go as it was going, go and challenge, it was undermining faith in Christianity. Remember, verse 19 tells us that the ones identify with the church. Let us hear verse 19.
First John chapter 2:19. Mm-hmm. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us.
You see, they went out from us, but in the first place, they were not even a part of us. Because if a person become a Christian with some faulty belief on the fundamental of Christianity, that person is not a true Christian. They claim belief in God as Father. Yes, they believe God as the Father of mankind. But they deny the true identity of Jesus Christ. Now, watch now. That has a consequence. Listen what John says in chapter 4, verse 3. In fact, well, let us hear 4:3.
John 4.
1 John chapter 4, verse 3.
And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist.
You hear that? Any man or woman you meet anywhere and deny the humanity, the true humanity of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ was 100% human being, and he was God. Any man deny the humanity of Jesus Christ, that person, it doesn't matter what that person claim, how holy and godly that man or woman looks or appear, that person is not of God. This is what John was dealing with. To do this, to diminish the identity of Christ, the Christ that God sent here in human form, is to show that you never truly believe and know the Almighty God in the first place. Denial of God's revelation in the man Jesus Christ, that is Christ as is equivalent to denying of the Father. Now, why this is important for you and me is that there are religious groups today who want to make Jesus Christ over. And probably some of you in this wider society who don't know better see them as they are Christian. Where you get that from? Listen in chapter, look at verse 22 and 23 together. And the point under consideration here, to deny Jesus Christ as he came, as God gave him to the world, to say you do not like this or accept this about Christ, make up, is to deny God. That's right. It is a reflection not just on Christ. It's a reflection on the Father. Read it. 22 and 23.
Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also.
Now, may I beg you not to misunderstand verse 23. To acknowledge the Son means you acknowledge him as is. Let me illustrate. Jesus Christ is not a demigod. Jesus Christ is not a diminished God. As the Jehovah's Witness, I should have carried the New World Translation. St. John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Jehovah Witness, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. A God. When you do that, you are doing the very thing that let us hear verse 23 says again.
Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also.
May I? You cannot make Jesus Christ in something that he's not and still remain favorably in God's grace. You cannot. For example, this is Jehovah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God. They are making Jesus Christ a false God here. That's terrible. But no, you turn it around with the Pentecostal. You see, and they are just as terrible. Because now, while the Jehovah Witness made Jesus Christ a false God, the Pentecostal made Jesus Christ into the Father, into the Son, and into the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ is not the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is not the Father. He has a Father. And the Father, the Almighty God, has never been called the Son. While passage like the one in Isaiah referring to Christ as the everlasting Father, and if I take time off to explain that, then the lesson will last longer than I want and probably longer than you want. But what I'm saying, when the Pentecostal fail to acknowledge Jesus Christ for who he is, that Christ in fact has a Father. That when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, it was the Son who died and not the Father. That when Jesus Christ came and for some 32 years lived on this earth as a human being, that was the Son, not the Father. When the Pentecostal tried to make Jesus Christ, because they want to deny that there are three persons in the Godhead, they make Jesus Christ the Father, they make Jesus Christ, that is, when Jesus Christ stood there at his baptism and the voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son," and what, they are saying it was Jesus Christ speaking to Jesus Christ. Idiot. No, that is idiotic. Because the Almighty God does not deal with human beings like that. He does not confuse us with language. Paul talks about the plainness of speech. So any way you or I or any man try to make Jesus Christ over in any form or shape, you are denying Jesus Christ for who he is, and you're also denying the Father. That's what the passage, any interference. You see, we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord, our Savior, the Son of God, as is. That is, as God sent him to this world. You and I dare not making him into something that we want. Whenever any man, any denomination, any angel does that, they are out of line with God. And that's exactly what verse 23 of 1 John chapter 2 is talking about. May I? Now. So now, verse 27, we're going to end on this verse, because this is a question, good question. Let us hear it again.
But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you.
The anointing you receive from him, that anointing abides in you. Read.
And ye need not that any man teach
you. As a result of this anointing, may I, brothers and sisters, this is referring to the fact that when one became a Christian, the Holy Spirit is given to us. But the Holy Spirit is not just given to us. The Holy Spirit works with us to understand God's will. It does not happen overnight. As long as you and I live and we are in fellowship with the Almighty God and with the body of Christ, the church, on God's term, the Holy Spirit is opening our eyes to truth. Read that verse again.
But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you,
mm-hmm.
And ye need not that any man teach you.
There, you don't need any man to teach you. Read.
But as the same anointing teacheth you mm-hmm. of all things,
mm-hmm.
and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him.
Okay, may I? When you look on the last clause in verse 27, the last half a line or line. Let me hear it again. Just the last part.
And even as it hath taught you, ye
it. It. This it is not referring to the Holy Spirit. It's a neuter gender referring to something. Read it again, brother.
And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him.
The it here is referring to the gospel, the truth. The truth that they were taught when they became Christian. Not only that, not only do we have the pronoun it as neuter, not he, as a masculine gender. Notice also the past tense in the same clause. Read.
And even as it hath taught you.
Taught you. So this is not talking about their present condition. This is referring, reminding them of the teaching they got when they just became Christian, probably years ago. That's why taught, past tense, it, the truth, or the gospel. That opened their eyes, their understanding. This is referring to the written record of the gospel that was taught to them. That's why it is it. It was that which they had been taught, and it was that which was abiding in them, the truth that they were taught years ago. Notice again the tense, as it had taught you. It what? The truth taught you. The truth abide in you. It was the all sufficiency of the original gospel of Jesus Christ in its purity that opened their eyes, enlightened them, and met their spiritual needs. That enabled John to write, "You need not that anyone teach you," meaning with the truth that you have been taught, the truth that is abiding in you. You don't need these false teachers to teach you anything. So the anyone you see there, you do not need anyone to teach you, is referring to the Antichrist that was coming to the Christian and the Church of Christ, claiming that they, the Antichrist, they have new knowledge, new revelation, and that they could teach the Christian a lot of things. John says, you do not need them to teach you anything. Are we there? John was not teaching that the Christian had no need for further study. The whole text was about the all-sufficiency of the gospel which was originally taught to them, and the truth that was abiding in them. That truth in them, with that truth in them, John could say, you don't need these false teachers who want to damn your soul in hell. The truth that you know is the only safeguard against the religious false teachers that John identifies as the liars. The any man, as I've said in verse 27, is referring to the false teachers whom John called liars. Because you have had and know the truth, you do not need any instruction from them. I'm ending the lesson. And I repeat, what verse 27, this phrase, you need not that any man teach you. In effect, John is saying, because you have and you knew, you have been taught the truth. These false teachers have nothing to teach you. You don't have any need for them. You have the truth and you know the truth. But as I've said, if you do not take the context into consideration, it's important that you read from at least verse 18 to get that what is in John's mind is the false teachers that he identifies as antichrist and the liars. The Christian and the church were threatened by their teaching. Christians were being swept off their feet by the falsehood. John says, you don't need them. That which you need, you have it, and that is the truth. The same applies to us. We don't need the various types of religious falsehood out there to influence us. You know why? We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all we need to do is spend time studying it. Being Bible study, worship, learn, and remember as much as you are able to remember. Thank you.